Those on the recording, we have benefited you with 20-some seconds of silence just to feel. So with that type of introduction, good morning. I'm Brad Holton, Chair of the Board of County Commissioners. Also present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. And we have a 9:30 agenda item on this wonderful day of July 12th. And with that, let's start with an action item to consider addendum number one for request for qualifications for the GC elections building construction project.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commissioners. Thank you for having me this morning. In front of you is just the set of questions so that we are going to be putting in for addendum number one for the CMGC for the elections building. I believe there was four questions, and legal and myself, we answered these, and we'd like this to be submitted for addendum.
Okay. About how many people did you have in that first meeting?
For the CMGC meeting for the elections building,
right?
There was.
Oh, I'm thinking about the other one. My mistake.
Yeah, this is for elections. So this was anyway, but this is still four contractors involved in this one.
In this. Okay.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay. Great. All right. Discussion or questions?
I apologize. I need just a minute to look at the rest of this again.
Was Oscar there or was Colonel?
Oscar's, yep.
Chairman?
Yes.
If this only pertains to the general contractor, or does this pertain to both requests for qualification on the contractor and architect?
Mr. Commissioner Van Beek, we've already selected the architect for the elections building. This is only for the construction manager / general contractor.
Chairman, I'm on the different page I do, and so I'm now on the right project. We have a lot going on with construction. Rick, thanks for keeping us lined up.
I might note this is one of the rare occasions that it's not good to be on the same page with me, Commissioner Van Beek, so step up your game.
All right. I'll get that done. Thank you.
All right.
Chairman, I think this is great, and there'll be Carl, if you could weigh in, there's going to be a time period that we have to post the qualifications. Does that push our deadlines back at all?
No, I don't think it really pushes it back, because this is all contemplated as part of the schedule in the first place.
Okay. Including this.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's no further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve and sign the addendum number one for request for qualifications for the CMGC election building construction project.
Commissioner Brooks,
I
second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brian.
Good morning, Commissioners. How are you today?
Good. Are you cleverly disguised as a diversion grant discusser?
I am. I am very much so. Feel privileged. I've been coming down to the board quite frequently, so hopefully you're not sick of me yet. So.
Just wait.
Yeah, just wait.
Rest of the morning.
Oh, yeah.
We do have appointments for the specialist to see.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why we have EAP, Commissioner.
All right. Where would you like to begin?
Mr. Chair, Commissioners, I have provided you electronically, and also I believe you have a copy before you as well, the board had raised some questions. I had some additional questions as we were working with IDOC. I provided those to them last week. They got back to us with some responses. I have given that to the board as well. Hopefully you received those. I think that was on Monday. A number of the questions were answered in the revised contract. And then some of the concerns that you had last time probably weren't the responses that you wanted. But I think IDOC is set. What is their requirements? I know I'm in favor of still moving forward. And worst comes to worst, as we discussed last time, if we determine that it is not manageable and not worthwhile, we can easily exit out of this contract and give the money back to IDOC as well. But Dr. Zog also conveyed to me, I believe I forwarded that to you as well, that since the hope is that we enter into a contractual agreement with them to manage the majority of this grant, they are comfortable with the time frames that are outlined in that. So I would ask that the board, if so willing, to enter into this pre-prosecution diversion grant with the Department of Corrections so we can start tackling what I think is a very serious need in our county, and that's the mental health world.
Sure.
Yes.
Brian, thank
yes.
you for the information that you provided and carrying out those questions.
Yep.
I noticed that the first question posed by the board regarding Truvium did not have a response on the comeback.
Yeah, so if you look at Commissioner Van Beek, it's a great question, is they removed Tritium. I think it was a leftover from a previous grant, so it is no longer in the current grant.
Nice.
So they I asked the same question. I didn't know what it was, and they eliminated it.
That makes sense, because that didn't
yeah. Yeah, so they eliminated that.
And then, Chairman, as a follow-up, Brian, you've had a lot of interaction on these meetings that for the SIM project with the judges and a lot of community collaboration.
Yep.
If you could help me understand on this, what your thoughts were and how you see the need for a new jail, all of that interfacing. I'm looking at the referral and the section of the grant. So when you're talking about acute crisis, and then you're talking about having to maybe qualify someone who's in acute crisis through an application process and a program, all of that. You know, I'm concerned about the immediate need in that and what you're going to do to hold them, because we really, I think, only have one place in Canyon County, and that's West Valley, that has a, maybe you can clarify that too, a mental health hold. So take it from that.
Yeah, yeah. Commissioner Van Beek, there's a lot of questions and comments to that question with regards to it. I'm going to set aside the jail component for right now, because I think the jail is individuals that have already come in. The grant does, at least our vision, probably not the first year, but to provide the necessary mental health treatment into the jails. Right now, the jail facility, as you know, doesn't have the capacity or the location to provide that mental health. So hopefully somewhere down the path. West Valley Hospital has the particular wing to help assist those individuals that are in a severe mental health crisis. And those individuals usually are placed on a hold by either law enforcement, physicians, and they have the trained staff. We also have a behavioral health crisis center in Kane County. It is a 23-hour and 59-minute facility, so they can stay in up to one day, and it can be they can go another day, and then it's reevaluated each day, and that's here in Caldwell as well. It's over by, you know, where the Albertsons is on the boulevard over, is it Blaine? I think Blaine's going east, right?
Blaine or Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland or Blaine. It's over there by the Dollar Tree. So that's where that facility is. There's extra spaces where we're ultimately contemplating whether or not to have our facility and all those co-location services ultimately. So that has been a great program for us. And those are dealing more with the acuteness components. So law enforcement can drop somebody off rather than placing a mental hold. So, because once the mental hold kicks in, then my office gets involved, the public defender's office, the courts get involved, because that's our responsibility to determine whether or not this person has been stabilized or they need long-term sort of mental health treatment and care, which then they get sent to different places throughout the state. So the nice thing about the crisis center is it is a quick, acute, if something that's happening right then and there. The contemplation for us is, once again, this is all sort of the pre-diversion, is the goal is not to get them into the criminal justice system or the court system. That's the strategy of this, is to alleviate those two systems. So with the behavioral health specialist, for example, that will be hopefully riding with law enforcement, when an acute situation takes place, the hope is to have that person that is a specialist in that area versus law enforcement that does not have the specialization. They can make those assessments. We can take them to the crisis center. We can take them to an ER if we need to, just to get a lot of these individuals, we don't know if it's drug-induced, like methamphetamine-induced aspects, if it is somebody that has gone off their medication for a couple days, that all it takes is just a quick stabilization. We will have that ability before they even hit the system. Whether or not they turn violent, a lot of times that's what happens, which is one of those components of the mental health is, hey, they're a danger to themselves or to others, which is why law enforcement usually comes immediately to that aspect. So we're trying to alleviate law enforcement having to deal with something that they're not tackling. And that's all the acute, the immediacy of what's going on. So that's the vision of going forward. And that's why when we're talking about the SIM, and the SIM, if you recall, it stands for a sequential intercept model. So if you have this imaginary line in the court system, is if you can intercept an individual the sooner in the line, the resources that are needed, I have some fantastic charts that show you the costs, because it costs a lot more money for the taxpayer to put somebody in prison than it is if we can avoid them even heading into the criminal justice system. And if we can tackle the mental health issues, a lot of times their mental health and substance, the co-occurring, is if we can address that before they even hit the system, which is what we're creating sort of is this intercept zero is our vision. Because one is where it starts, and that's where sort of the 911 calls start rolling in, and how do we start addressing those. So it's a very long, this is a conversation, and Commissioner Van Beek, that you and I could probably have for 2 to 3 hours of trying to figure out where it all intersects. So that's why I said your question is very complicated, and I don't know how deep you want me to go.
I appreciate that. Chairman, thank you. I did have the opportunity, I was talking to Kim Dugan, I sat down with Judge Petty.
Yep.
He's provided references I read through. He's
yep.
pretty interesting.
Yep.
Works at a national level to try and get some mental health.
Yep.
I'm for, as you are, the educational component.
Yep.
I've been posting, you're probably familiar with Pete Early, and having something like that.
Yep.
Because the resources for the families are equally important as they are.
That's exactly.
Yeah. So with all of that, I just needed to know that there was an ability to achieve and succeed with what's been presented. Thank you for the feedback.
Yep.
The prior board did not get feedback from the commissioner that attended, so I have a greater understanding where you're right in the weeds there. The one question I asked last time that I would, you're going to have to tell me because I didn't remember, I'm stuck in the rut of the posture. I guess I'm trying to figure out how to carefully say this with Chairman Holmes filter, but has there been movement on the sheriff in having a behavioral health specialist embedded with law enforcement as ride-alongs? And you're into the statistics. Statistically, if you look at having a behavioral health specialist, the mortality rates for people in acute crisis are significantly lower. And so has his posture changed on having that be a part of a call out on a DV call or something that's related to potential mental health crisis?
Commissioner B&B, Commissioner, Mr. Chair, I don't know the answer to. I have not specifically asked Sheriff Donahue on his thoughts or opinions. I didn't know what position he has on behavioral intervention specialists embedded into his field, his patrol. I know he has been very supportive with Captain Patchett in our working relationship, because Captain Patchett's been on this working group as well. And if one of the commissioners wants to be in on these working groups, you're more than, we'd be happy to have one of you if you're interested as we move forward. We have always focused on the jail for the sheriff, because that's, right now, jails across the United States are the number one mental hold facilities. And that's not doing a service to those individuals that are in the jail that aren't getting the mental health. That's ultimately where we would like to go, and that's where we have focused. I believe I mentioned it to the board last time. The sheriff's office in the world of patrol is a little more unique than, not in the, necessarily the actual function, but the condensed populace that Nampa and Caldwell is. They're running to far more calls in a far quicker fashion. And I think we have such a good working relationship with law enforcement that if something happened hypothetically in Melba, I don't see why Nampa PD and our agreements wouldn't be willing to assist the sheriff if there's a mental and they have a behavioral health expert riding on a patrol unit with Nampa, why they couldn't go out there and to assist. I don't see why that would happen. I don't think, it's merely Brian's opinion based on the numbers that we see, I don't think for how much money it would cost to fund a behavioral health specialist that it would be more prudent to have those resources in Nampa and Caldwell, because that's where our primary population density is. Not to say that outlying cities don't have those same needs, but you only have so much money, if that makes sense. And then if something happens in Greenleaf or Wilder and somebody is on in Caldwell, I can see them going out there if it gets to that level versus running one person just right in the county. And I think that's how we've calculated those two positions based on the IDOC grant.
Yeah. What I heard you say was that behavioral health specialist would be available to any law enforcement agency.
That's the contemplation.
Okay, and yep. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't intend by Sheriff Ryan, yep. He wasn't part of those STEM meetings, those working groups, is that right?
He was not. He had Captain Patchett was present. And if I recall, don't hold me to this, I'd have to go back to my notes because it was about a year and a half ago. I think Chief DeShield was present as well. But I know Captain Patchett was, absolutely. And he attended the same training, which the seminal program in the country is the Miami model. Mm-hmm. And so Judge Petty was able to arrange that. So Judge Petty, I, Director Josh Tewalt, who's the director of the Department of Corrections, I, Captain Patchett, Bazzoli was supposed to go, but then Ken Stringfield ended up having to go because PD Bazzoli had something come up. And so all of us went, and this is one of what stemmed this program, got more fine-tuned through that. So that focus was on the jail for the sheriff.
And I think conversation that would be a good conversation for Chief Hart, Sheriff, yourself, yep. Even the police chiefs, the other mm-hmm. chiefs, would be to look at that, because when we've sat through budget hearings, we've done a lot of deep dive with the sheriff, yep. But to have everyone on the same page, here's what I heard, is that even though local jurisdictions respond to a call, the county is ultimately, because it's county law enforcement, yep. They're responding sometimes concurrently, or sometimes that is the response agency, because Milton PD, for instance, they're a limited jurisdiction on time frames, things like that. So in those rural areas, it's going to be the sheriff's office that responds out there. So I think that is really critical to get your persuasive and your influence, your work that you've done on this model so that it succeeds. Because if we have an agency that's not bought into this model, I don't see that it can succeed. I'm in favor of what you're talking about. We've talked about being a leader in a lot of areas in Kenyon County. Emergency response, whatever that looks like, but this is important that we have some type of a meeting, Chairman and Commissioner Brooks, that we present the information. Last year it made the news that a mental health crisis person in North Idaho was shot and killed. We happen to know the family. It was a tragedy. When you have somebody, it's a negotiator, it's a person in expertise with behavioral health skills that's a negotiator to know how to reduce that. Nobody wants to be there,
yeah.
people find themselves there across every socioeconomic level, so.
I 100% agree with you, Commissioner Van Beek. So it's, if we're all on board, it's far more likely to succeed than if we're fighting against each other. I 100% agree. I think we're all on board. I think the partners are all lined up to do this program.
So
could, Brian, can we look forward to, the best of our ability, bringing in the other chief police and having a public meeting and then having a public announcement of what this is going to deal with?
That's the hope. I would like, I think it is something that Canyon County should be proud of,
okay,
that this is what we're going to do, and we're going to be at the forefront for the state of Idaho on tackling this issue.
So however this board can help you implement,
okay,
that, we're all in. So I have two questions.
Yes.
And maybe this is primarily first to just Zach. And Zach, you and I have talked in passing several times just because the board can doesn't necessarily make it a smart move to do. So I'm concerned about you and your staff with these timelines that's in this proposal. Are you okay to do this? I mean, just because I can choose to do this, I don't want to bestow upon you an almost an impossible task from what I see. Can you help this commissioner understand whether I should or I shouldn't do this?
Chairman, thank you for your thoughts and your concern. Bottom line, we can do this. It will require a great deal of cooperation with Southwest District Health. A significant amount of the reporting, the documentation will fall on them. I've met with them, I met with Nikki, I met with Troy Cunningham, their finance individual. I believe with that partnership, we can meet these timelines, these guidelines.
Okay.
It's not ideal.
No.
There's some unique circumstances here, a non-interest bearing account. I've communicated with the treasurer. We will have to create a separate unique bank account. That's going to require some additional accounting work and entries. The 10 days is a tight turnaround,
yeah,
but I'm confident that we can, in partnership with Southwest District Health, meet those deadlines. And the hope would be that the value is there for this service. There's not a financial dollar and cents benefit to this. It's a wash, basically, but the hope would be that the value, the benefit for the community is there with this program.
On the back page of this grant, on page 11, so maybe it's an appropriate question for Zach or for Brian, but it talks about opioid settlement monies for Canyon County could be used to help sustain the program. Some of those monies from prior board were committed to the Youth Crisis Center, and I think that's been pared back. But Zach, if there was ongoing or if we needed, I know it's down the road, but on the jail capacity for that, the one thing I see is a benefit to having something connected to jail facilities that you have secure facilities. You could to a person attack the individual or the public. So that's, again, a long-worded question, but help me understand if those funds are available. They are an 18-year commitment payout to the county. Yes.
Commissioner Van Beek, just out of curiosity, which document are you referring to, the actual contract? Oh, that document. Okay.
Under sustainability.
This is okay. I was looking at the contract. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'll take the first stab at that. Is one of the requirements for the grant application always is, and these type of grants, is how do you anticipate sustainability? I'll defer to Zach on the actual money component. This was merely just one suggestion in which we're contemplating of throwing out there. Is it absolutely required? No. That's the proposal of going, this might be a possibility. We don't know. Other powers of B still have to make the final decisions. And so whether, I think another aspect is the Southwest District Health, after 3 years, do they just hire on this person? And if the program's running fantastic, fantastic. Dr. Zog mentioned another aspect that we've conveyed is if we can show that this is very successful, then the state of Idaho may allocate those resources. Since they're pushing a lot of money into the pre-diversions right now, we're trying to start a pre-diversion court. That's all that document was, is possible sustainable or resources that could be available, depending on if they've been allocated or not. If there's no opioid money, then it's not going to be part of that conversation. So if that clarifies your question.
If this board has looked closer than the previous board at possible uses for that money, they're pretty restricted. Zach's done a great job helping us look at what we could use it for, but to have a facility that's the 23 hours of 59, I don't care who you are, if you're in crisis, that's not long enough. And so to be able to stream money for the county and the taxpayer and the community as a whole, get the biggest bang for their buck, is what I'm looking for as a commissioner. So evaluation of that, I think, is important.
And I think Southwest District also has opioid funds, and I think that's what was being contemplated more so than Canyon County's opioid funds.
Oh, that makes sense.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yep.
All right. Anything else for this?
Chairman?
Yes.
Looks like we have an action item. I have one more question. Brian, I did not look at the Southwest District Health Guidelines. We're tied as a partnership. Performance is on the county, but the bulk of the heavy lifting is on Southwest District Health. I know we have a long-standing relationship, but you have looked at that agreement on the Southwest District Health side, I'm assuming.
Commissioner Van Beek, I have. My office drafted it. So it has not been finalized. We wanted to first see the terms of the contract of whether or not the board. So once if the board approves this, that will be the next thing that I will be submitting to the board. So you can see what those contractual relations, to make sure Dr. Zog and I are in agreement with that before we move forward.
Yep. Chairman, as a discussion point, I would be in favor of accepting this grant on the prosecutor's recommendation.
Thank you.
When we have a meeting, which I would want to predicate that motion on, that we get people involved. This is a tough issue to tackle. You have it happening everywhere at all age levels. But I would want to include Cam Dugan, the executive director. I would want to include Gene Petty. I would want all police chiefs, the sheriff, you, whoever else is going to be a part of this, including the board, to have that expanded conversation about how we don't just talk about something but move something forward, because it's so needed for the county. So I would make that my motion, that we accept it with those future meetings with those players and key stakeholders. I think there'll be a lot of people that are happy about any move around mental health.
Yeah. Discussion on this?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded for approval at this stage going forward. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous.
Thank you very much, commissioners. And we will have those conversations, Commissioner Van Beek. And Ms. Dugan's already, she was involved in the community partner meetings as well. So, yeah. So.
Let's take a further record thing. Let's take a 2-minute break or so.